From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. In the city
where the tall shapes live. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week my guest is Aaron Mader, better known as Laserbeak. This Minneapolis-based producer has spent years in the rock act, the Plastic Constellations, and the hip-hop collective Doomtree. Now he's got a new solo album, Legend Recognized Legend, that's equal parts indie rock, hip-hop, electronic, and revelatory. Let's get to the interview.
You've been playing music since you were a wee lad. Did you start with the guitar, or did you start even earlier than that before you were a teenager?
I did. You know, actually, my folks made me pick up an instrument in fourth grade. You kind of got to pick between choir and band. So I picked out the saxophone. I thought it was awesome. And that got me started. And then I picked up the guitar a couple years later. Found my dad's acoustic hidden away in the closet and got into playing in rock bands. And then that kind of segued into hip-hop production. And now with this record, it's gotten into a little more kind of a mix of all that with electronic music as well.
Before the electronic music was even on your plate, you were in an indie rock band, even as a very young teenager. Could you give me a brief history, if you can, of the Plastic Constellations?
Yeah, man. We kind of all met in seventh grade, the beginning of junior high, the four of us, and kind of taught each other how to play instruments. And then we were a band. We kind of stopped now, but we've played basically for like 12, 13 years. And we've just been best friends since I can remember. We're fortunate enough to kind of travel the country and put out a decent amount of records. And it kind of ran its course at this point. It was a blast, man.
So you were actually introduced to electronic music and beat making by your friend, Stefan Alexander?
Yes, I was, yes. Steph played in bands throughout junior high and high school too, so we kind of came up in the same area. And he had gotten into hip-hop and making rap beats and stuff like that. We would always talk about what rap album we liked at the time or whatever, and he convinced me that I should take a shot at trying to make beats because he had just figured out how to do it himself. So he took me to Guitar Center, pointed out what I needed to get, and then spent a day with me kind of just teaching me the basics of the MPC, and ever since, I've been on it.
What attracted you to hip-hop and electronic music? You were coming from a completely different place, it seems.
Yeah, totally. You know, I do remember, like, the first music I actually listened to growing up as a kid was, I was really into rap, and I grew up in a fairly strict religious family, so I was mostly introduced to it through Christian rap, which there were only about, like, three or four artists at the time, but I was into that as a kid, and I got into R&B music as a kid, and then it was, like, junior high where I got into indie rock. So when I got to high school, I kind of reverted back hip-hop and started discovering a lot of the new stuff that had been coming out, and then also kind of finding the stuff that I had missed in my young age when I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music. Then that just kind of went full circle, and then I just was like, you know, immersed in it for a long while. And now it's, you know, I think high school, that was it, and then, you know, you kind of broaden your horizons a little bit as you get older, so now it's all sorts of things.
We find ourselves in a valiant vision.
Salt and Sea from Laserbeak's Legend Recognized Legend here on the Unce Podcast.
Tell me about the birth of Doomtree, then, the sort of collective that you've become a part of.
Yeah, man, there's seven of us. We've basically known each other for years. I think we're coming up on a decade of all working together, practically. And we kind of just banded together at a young age. We kind of all knew each other. We're all trying to do similar things, and it just seemed like easier to do it together and strengthen numbers, and we're all good friends. So it's just kind of grown naturally over the years into more of a somewhat of a business. I mean, we run our own record label to put out our records, which began because no one else was putting out our records for us. And it's kind of grown now, and every year it grows more. And it's been a joy to be a part of it and to continue to see it grow. But we're all individual solo artists that come together to kind of propel the whole deal. I don't want to say movement because that's used a lot in rap music, but I'm going to say movement, okay?
Movement. So Doomtree and before that, the Plastic Constellations, you all came up in Minneapolis, and most people just associate Minneapolis and even the entire state with Prince and know nothing yes. about what's going on in the city itself. What's the scene like, maybe as far as electronic music goes and maybe as far as hip-hop and the melding of the other worlds?
Sure. You know, it's very unique. I didn't realize how unique it was, so I had the opportunity to kind of travel around the country. But it's kind of this, like, small pocket. There's so much art being made all the time, be it music or, you know, film or paintings, whatever. And everyone kind of just roots for each other in a way. So it's not uncommon to have a show where there'll be, you know, the opener might be a punk rock band, then the middle band would be actually a hip-hop group, and then the closer would be, like, a folk pop group or something like that, because I don't know if it's like an open mind thing or just become common that all the genres kind of play with each other. So it's really cool. There's some really strong scenes. The underground hip hop scene is very strong there. Obviously, Rhymesayers is a label that an atmosphere they kind of put our city on the map. But there's mm-hmm. a ton of electronic music going on. There's a ton of like a million genres, and everyone plays together and everyone supports each other. So I feel like you don't see that everywhere. And it's a really positive thing. And I think we're not on everybody's radar as far as the country, but we kind of exist in this weird little pocket where we kind of keep each other going based off each other's music. It's pretty awesome.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your sound. It seems like you've been very effective melding the indie and hip-hop aesthetic, much like a Chromeo or a Chitty Bang. Do you see this as the natural progression for both genres? Or I don't want to say it's a fad, or where do you see the course of where your sound fits into the natural evolution of popular music?
I mean, I'm still figuring it out, I think. I started out, I figured out the inbox stuff to an extent, and then I figured out the hip-hop stuff to an extent, and then this album that I just put out, I was trying to find a way to do all these different things and still be able to sing. And, you know, I'm not going to rap on my beats, but still find a way to use my voice, not necessarily scream. So I'm still figuring it all out. But I like the idea that as we keep moving here, the genres blur, the line blurs a bit. I was really afraid making this record that people would hate it. You know, so I'd alienate the hip-hop fans that I have, and the indie rock fans would hate it and all that stuff. But it's been cool because it actually hasn't gotten a lot of heat. And I think that a big thing about that is, like, I'm 28. And growing up, it was like you're either a rock guy or a hip-hop guy or whatever. But it's been cool. I think we were maybe one of the last generations that had that. Like, kids now, they are introduced to all different types of music at a young age, and they like everything. I mean, they like their rap music. They like certain rock and all that stuff. So I think it's just a natural progression that the music is affected that way too, that there's elements from everything kind of lit into that. So it's based more off, you know, inspiration at the time. And luckily last summer when I started making these songs, it just happened to be this kind of weird electronic pop thing. And I was able to see it through and kind of create a 10 song piece of music. I doubt that if I do it again on a solo tip that it might necessarily, you know, that it'll sound the same. It might take on something new, but at the time, that's what was really intriguing to me.
So what's your personal creative process? Your sound is so unique. I wonder if you've developed your own formula, maybe starting with guitar hooks, or maybe you're starting with beats. I'd like to maybe break down where you're coming from when you go into the studio to produce.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of repetition where I try to just, when I have the time at least every day, sit down there and try to just make something no matter what it is. If it's like, you know, if it's writing a guitar line or if it's playing the piano or chopping up samples, it generally starts, for me, the MPC 2000 is like my sequencer sampler workstation. So I start there chopping up samples and drums and stuff like that, and then I tend to layer it probably to a fault sometimes, put too much stuff in it, but, you know, a guitar, keyboard, stuff like that, just keep adding, and I add until it's completely full, and then when I sequence, I just start taking elements away. If I get it completely as big as it's going to get, and then I just start taking things away to kind of create the song structure. So that's usually how it goes, and it usually takes me about a day to make a track, but I try to get it. I have to kind of work in a do it that day, and it's done. I can't, like, spend weeks on one thing because my mind just go crazy, kind of. So
okay.
I try to do it and keep it moving, basically.
let's dive into your debut album, Legend Recognize Legend. What was the overall message you were trying to convey with that? It seems like you were trying to say something, you know, even through the album title.
Sure. You know, it was tough. I hadn't, you know, in the Buzz Constellations, I sang and wrote a lot of the lyrics, and it had been a couple of years when that band kept on indefinite hiatus. I just dove into production, but no vocalizing, I guess. So it was like me getting back in touch with writing lyrics, and I realized I was, you know, I'm in my late 20s, and I think I kind of made this record into my, like, semi-adult record where I tackle death and life and love, you know, stuff like that. Not so too cornball about it, but
No.
So I just wanted to say, I wanted to say a lot of things about how I felt about life and what I've seen to this point and tackling, you know, just feeling better about, I don't know, it's tough, man, but like just perseverance, a lot of things that I really believe in, and being a joyful person and appreciating the things around you and the people around you and stuff like that. I kind of want to just make a really, for lack of a better word, just a positive record about the kind of the beauty in what we all are able to do. So from that, it just kind of happened song by song, and it kind of started to get some themes around it. Musically, it was just kind of coincidence that I had made one beat. I had the idea that I kind of wanted to attempt a solo record, but I made one beat one day that didn't sound like anyone could rap on it, and I actually heard a vocal melody in my head for the first time in years, and then I was like, okay, well, let me try to write lyrics to it, and then for the next 3 months, it just ended up that I got into that groove, and that's what I did. I just made beats that I knew wouldn't be the traditional kind of boom-bap hip-hop beats that would use elements, but I'd still be using the same gear, but that would just be stranger, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then within that 3 months, I basically created all the demos for the record. So it was a pocket of pretty intense inspiration, I guess. I was really really excited about it at the time. You know, those things come and go. I've learned in the 15 years I've been doing this, sometimes you'll get that, and a lot of times you won't, and you gotta just kind of wait it out sometimes. But I was happy to achieve it that one time.
And you were the whole package. You sang, you produced, you played all the live instruments on the record.
I did. I mean, I can't take full credit. I had a lot of help from my team. You know, Doomtree just having input, like Dessa and Steph, who was my POS, kind of almost executive produced it, where once I had the demos, they were like, okay, let's sit down, let's work out a horn arrangement, and let's work out some string arrangements, and then we'll get the players, you know, we'll be able to tell them what to do. So I had a ton of friends that helped out and creating this, turning it from demos into like a full-fledged epic album type deal. So, but yeah, it was exciting. I mean, it was scary, really scary for me to kind of stick my neck out like that, but I'm really glad I did. And I feel great that I have it, that it's like in my hand now, you know, that it's on the merch table on this tour, and it's done, because it was such an intensive process from making the music to polishing it up to making all the videos. We have a DVD that's included with the album that has a video for every song. It's just a really, really cool collaboration with like all my friends in the entire city, basically kind of coming together and making this art piece type deal. So it was cool.
What do you think of the Hood Internet's mash mix, Ledger Recognized Ledger, which has T.I. and Drake and Mos Def writing your tracks?
Dude, it made me happier than I've been in probably a good year when that actually happened. Like, I've been a big fan of what those guys do. I've never been a huge mashup guy, but I for some reason love what they do, and got the opportunity to meet one of the guys a couple months ago when he was in town in Minneapolis, and we kind of hit it off. I was able to give him a copy of the album before it came out, and I also just, out of selfish reason, kicked in the instrumentals with the idea that, you know, if he ever had a spare second and wanted to put, you know, Rick Ross or anybody over it, that I'd be more than open to that. And then hadn't talked to him in a couple months, and just got an email a couple weeks ago that was like, hey man, we ended up doing like 6 or 7 songs, and my wife said, you know, we listened to it for the first time together. She said she hadn't seen me smile that big in, you know, who knows how long. So it made me so happy, dude. I absolutely love it. I mean, that's the type of music that I listen to on a daily basis, is modern, you know, current R&B and current mainstream rap music. And mm-hmm. So just to hear that blended with my stuff was just like the best thing ever. The Usher song at the end, it's like the greatest thing ever. I just wish that I could just sing like Usher now and play that live. Oh well. So yeah, I was beyond overjoyed that it happened, and I can't thank those guys enough for taking the time to make that happen. It made my whole year. Say you never give up. You found.
That's the Hood Internet's Laserbeak mashup, Ledger Recognize Ledger.
The blending of live and sampled tracks is seamless. Is there a special gear or software you're using to get that signature sound besides the MPC?
I gotta be honest with you, I'm pretty much the worst at gear stuff, so I basically always had this MPC as the workstation, and even if I play a guitar line or a keyboard line, I'll sample that line into the MPC and then chop it up from there. So I know there are much easier ways of doing that. I'm just so bad with computers and learning new stuff. So, you know, it's really, the MPC has a sound that it creates when you sample into it that just automatically kind of puts its signature sound on it, the way it processes things. I think that's just kind of it. I really just put everything in there, track it out into Pro Tools, and then hand it over to our mixing engineer, and he's able to make it come to life a little more. Although I have to say that on this tour, I just recently purchased something called Machine. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's like a newer piece of equipment that is more computer-based. So Steph, again, is going to teach me how to use that, so it feels kind of this full circle 10 years later, learning a new piece of gear. It's pretty good.
That's great. So I wonder, do you consider yourself more a songwriter or a producer? Is there a world you feel more comfortable in, or are you just sort of bouncing around between all these various genres?
Sure. I mean, it is a lot of bouncing around. I kind of just go with what I'm into at the time, but I think I probably feel the most comfortable at this point as a producer, a little more behind the scenes and kind of shaping the sound and making the background music. And, you know, I felt more nervous dealing with the full-on, like, frontman mentality, because I'd kind of been taking a back seat. And even when I played in a band, you know, there's four of us on stage, and it's not like it's just you up there. Mm-hmm. So that was tough for me. I do feel a lot more in my own skin, I think, when I'm in the basement, just making stuff for other people, or even for myself, but just creating that music and polishing that. And, you know, that's where it needs to be, and then working with other artists to kind of craft the song together. That's probably my strongest suit at this point, although we will see. We'll see how it goes, I guess.
Okay. So when the Doomtree tour wraps up, what's next for Laserbeak?
That's a great question, man. I am going to sleep for a while when we finally get home in mid-December, kind of take a break. I'm really excited. Tour, for me, is always really good because it gets me excited about making new music. And with this album, you know, those songs have been done for a long time, but all my efforts were put into, you know, promoting it and getting the artwork done and all that stuff. So I probably spent the last 4 months just working the record without having any time to make music, which bums me out always when I'm not creating stuff. So What I'm most excited about is just coming home and starting to stockpile a bunch of beats. And I have no idea what they'll sound like, but I'm just excited about the creating new music aspect that I've kind of been missing for the last, you know, 4 months of my life. So going to do that. We've got a lot of projects that are kind of getting underway. I'm doing a lot of collaborative records with a couple different rappers where I'll do the beats for the whole record and they'll do all the raps. And we just finished mastering the next big record on Doomtree that we're putting out is Sims, one of the rappers. That comes out February 15th, and I actually did all the production on that. So for anybody, I have to always preface this, for anyone that was alienated by the fact that my album wasn't just like a straight-up hip-hop instrumental record, this Sims album will completely redeem me with the amount of sheer lava bangers that are present on it. So you'll get a little bit of everything in the next year, I think.
That's great. Aaron Mader, thank you so much for being on the Unz Podcast.
Dude, I really appreciate it. I mean, it's been great. I hope that, and thanks for dealing with me being in a van, talking on the phone. It's been good. I really appreciate everything, man. Best of luck with it all.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Unz Podcast. Thanks goes to Kabir Malhotra with Girly Action Media, and of course, my guest, Aaron Mader. Visit theunz.com to hear the Hood Internet's mashup, Ledger Recognize Ledger. We've reached the final week of the Unz Challenge. 8 finalists from around the world and across the scope of electronic dance music are battling for the top spot in the competition. Go to theunz.com/theunzchallenge to vote for your favorite track. Hurry up, the voting ends November 16th. Next week on the Unz Podcast, UK's breakbeat pioneers, the Plump DJs, will be featured on the program. They're currently in the midst of a big US tour. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the Unz Podcast, contact me at anand@theunz.com. Catch you next week.